You know what I would, the thing I would think would make it more exciting for you?
What's that?
Comedians on bikes getting coffee.
Yeah, all you hear those wind noise.
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
All right, Ted, hey, it's episode 32. I want to welcome everybody.
Hey, Jimmy, how are you?
Doing all right, man. So you have a good week this week?
Good week this week. Crazy couple of weekends. I guess we're recording this a little late this on the weekend. Normally record on Friday, but now it's recording on a Sunday. And I want to thank you for shifting it a little bit for me.
Yeah, I got to double time the editing this week.
And I want to say sorry about last weekend. It was totally, I was not in the right place to go out to Ojai.
Oh yeah, no worries. Yeah, you missed a good time.
I heard, Frank told me.
Yeah, this week has been the flower festival in Lompoc, because we're known for like flowers, all the flower fields from years past. And so this morning, Clarissa and I, you know, I don't have any cash, right? So I have to ride down to the bank, get some money. I ride back up the hill back to the house. You know, I'm on my bicycle, of course. I ride back up the hill to get to the house. Because the whole point was we wanted to go to the farmer's market. So then we ride over to the farmer's market, which is down and up another hill. And we get there and there's no farmer's market.
Mm-hmm.
It's every Sunday at 10 to 2. Where's the farmer's market? So there's no farmer's market. So we stop at the local little village market over there. And their cash register is not working. So, you know, they're just doing like back of the napkin math, trying to figure out like how much my onions cost and everything. And so then we ride home. And I'm thinking, well, the website for the farmer's market said it's open every Sunday 10 to 2 year round. So, of course, I do a little bit of searching further, and there's some link, I don't know, 10, like a page over. Like, who goes to the second page in Google, right? Nobody does. But it's like a second page in Google because, like, I, for whatever reason, decided to try that. And there's a Facebook thing, and then they said this is the first weekend they're on hiatus for the summer while they restructure their organization. So no farmer's market for us, but we did have a fun time at the Flower Fest. Yeah.
And you still got to ride in anyway, right?
And like I told you, that's right. I told Clarissa, I said, hey, worst case, we at least got some exercise. All right. What's on the agenda for today?
Well, first off, I wanted to say thanks to Moo. I got my new business cards, my Series 2 Trailer Junkies podcast business cards.
Ah.
So another 20 different movie posters. And we had a marathon of hosting various family friends. We had family over for dinner on Friday night. And then Saturday we had a family over for brunch. And then Saturday night we had a family over for dinner. And each one of the families, I got the cards on Saturday morning. And I was so excited. I pulled them out and showed them to the family. And they're like, these cards are so nice. We already listened to your podcast, so I'm not going to take a card because I don't want to waste your cards.
Are they in the same style as the other ones?
Same exact style. They're those mini skinny cards, and they have 20 new movie posters.
Oh, cool.
And I actually put it out to all of our followers on Twitter to figure out which posters to add on to the collection. And I got, you know, a couple of handfuls of suggestions for what posters to put on it. And I put those posters on it. So there you go. People already influencing what we do here at Trailer Junkies.
And who's Moo?
Moo's a cool, a delightful credit card company. They do, not credit card, business card company. They do business cards and just business printing. And they're just a lot of fun. You know, they have fun with their stuff and it's cool. It's a cool little startup.
Yeah, cool. Awesome. Can't wait to see them.
So this week we have a couple of movies. The movie trailering has slowed down a little bit, but these movies that I picked were, I thought, stuff that I was really excited about seeing. And then one thing that was Jerry Seinfeld's Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, which is now over at Netflix. It was on Crackle. So it's a neat trailer for them. But there's a few things that they're omitting that I thought was interesting that we could talk about.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm not too familiar with it. I just learned about it today, actually.
Cool. So, but first we'll do Welcome to Marwen.
Welcome to Marwen. So a new Steve Carell movie.
Yeah, Steve Carell, Robert Zemeckis pairing together to do a movie that tackles a lot of heavy subjects and does it in a very interesting kind of new way. Not, you know, it's kind of like Toy Story meets Saving Private Ryan, you know?
Yeah. I was thinking of something similar along those lines.
A good soldier never leaves a man behind.
And I keep wanting to say welcome to Morrowind, because Morrowind was an Elder Scrolls video game I used to play.
What's that? I don't know what that is.
Oh, it's like a role-playing game, single-person role-playing game.
Oh, okay.
And the Elder Scrolls are like the series of, you know, what would you call it? Like medieval, magical, kind of Dungeons and Dragons-y kind of a... Uh-huh. A video game where, you know, you're like the hero in the story, and as you fight things and whatever, you get better armor and you go up levels and you get more powers, and, you know, it's just a role-playing game.
That's cool.
Yeah, I haven't played the Skyrim was the last one I played, and it might even still be out, but like all of a sudden have kids and like you don't play anything anymore. So yeah, I would say this movie looks very, or maybe the trailer, you know, looks very interesting. And how cool would it be to have a doll that looks just like you in a narcissistic sort of way, right?
Yeah. And I mean, it's obviously this coping mechanism for him.
Right.
I guess I don't understand where it starts, where it goes. And
but as we come to learn in trailers, they don't really go linear, right?
Right.
So I think it probably starts with him just being an everyday artist, doing his artist things, and then he gets jumped by these five Nazis or neo-Nazis. And of all the research I did, I can't really find that they were neo-Nazis. Nothing really, you know, it's kind of ambiguous.
Mm-hmm.
My research is kind of inconclusive. Maybe that's how they explain away the World War II stuff. I don't know. But and then it's another one of your gender bender kind of movies. Like the women are the heroes that like come to his rescue all the time. Like there's backup, as he says.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a fun way to, you know, these kind of sexy dolls, like with machine guns, you know, blowing things away.
And it's strange when he, you know, crafts these dolls and he makes them of the real people in the town. It's a neat way for someone with this PTSD, you know, when you're jumped, when you're attacked like this, you know, you might feel completely out of control of your life and the way you live it, you know?
Yeah.
So it's really interesting that he chose to channel this through his dolls and to photograph these scenes and setups in such a way that was artistic first and foremost, but therapeutic, you know, for him, for his him getting over it.
Yeah, and then the non-linear way that they kind of go through the story with, they show him getting jumped and beat up and then like not surviving, or well, surviving but barely.
Yeah.
And then you look at his rehab with the woman with the one leg, and it looks like it's sort of a military hospital, a veteran hospital maybe, and more of that feeding into, maybe it's not a veteran hospital. I mean, the woman who was working with him could be a veteran, for example, because she has the army sweatshirt and stuff. And maybe that's more of how they explain out the World War II hero in him. But then they talk about how he used to be this great artist and now he can't even hold a pencil. But then all of a sudden he's making this really elaborate doll set. So he must come back kind of full circle in a way. Maybe he can't draw the way he used to, but now he does his dolls. But then you look at his artist renderings and they're all like World War II characters and combat or whatever, you know?
Yes.
So it's like the World War II stuff, like it's like his fantasy.
It was always with him.
It was always with him. Yeah, it's like his fantasy that continues to play out over and over.
And it's kind of like he was an artist, a pure drawing artist before. And when he was jumped, he lost his ability to hold a pen or to draw. But maybe that was partially psychosomatic. And when he healed himself about it, he healed himself through the doll making and the doll photography, you know?
Oh, yeah, I follow you. And then I guess, yeah, that's true. So when you look at this movie, well, The story, I think, was around 2000 when all this went down. And that really was in the film days still, because I'm thinking he's shooting with a Pentax. It's like, well, why not get a digital camera? But then you think about it, it's like they didn't really exist yet.
Yeah. And the depth of field that he plays with, you know, those are, I guess you can do it digitally, but... You know, it just, it seems like it's a better story to tell with a shutter and film.
Right. And it, you know, it seems more authentic. And then one thing I didn't realize was that Steve Carell was a Best Actor nominee for Foxcatcher.
Oh, yeah. No, he's, so to me, this is the thing that I, one of the reasons I wanted to do this was I'm a big fan of Robert Zemeckis. I enjoy his films over the years. He did hit this rough patch where he thought he could do a lot more with motion capture. And he did this Disney Christmas Carol with Jim Carrey, and it was all motion capture. And then he did another movie with Disney called Mars Needs Moms.
I remember that one, yeah.
Yeah, and it was this crazy motion capture, but the way that they were doing it, the technology they were using was, you know, maybe a little bit ahead of its time. It was having trouble capturing the essence of the characters. There's a thing called the Uncanny Valley.
Yeah.
Where, yeah, you're looking at something and you know in your lizard brain that the thing you're looking at isn't the thing that you think that it is. So in nature, when butterflies would see other butterflies that looked like a lizard or something like that, that was their enemy. It was unnerving to them, because that's the way you keep yourself safe, is being suspicious of things that look like you that actually aren't you, that are just trying to mimic you to either eat you or attack you or something like that.
Essentially, they're like humanoid objects that are almost human, but just not quite. And you know, there's something off about them.
Right. So I love the idea that in this setting and this tableau of this film, he actually used that, what is a weakness in those movies that are just straight up animation, motion capture. And he turned it on its head and he said, well, if it's not working in this all animated setting, maybe they can use the technology and put it into the real world setting and then animate these dolls using some of that technology. You know, a lot of like the faces of the dolls, they're meant to be dolls. So it's okay that it registers in your brain as the audience as not a human. But there are plenty of times that I watch this trailer, and even when we're in the real world, I see the real characters and they look, those are the characters that seem to fade into, like, is that the doll or is that the real person? You know what I mean? So it kind of goes the opposite direction, but not in a negative way. It's kind of in a delightful way. It's in a positive way, you know, as if I'm losing myself in the story of the way this character lost himself in the story.
Yeah, and I think that's brought in with the editing.
Yeah.
So the way the editing is, it's like he's doing whatever he's doing in a scene, and then it just flows right into the dolls, like, seamlessly, and then now they're doing the Marwin world of dolling, or whatever you want to call it. But I think the best use of the Uncanny Valley in this was the final kill. It caught me off guard at first.
Uh-huh.
So I don't want to give any spoilers so people can go out and watch it, since it happens right at the end. But when you watch it, it does catch you off guard, because you're not quite sure, like, what just happened. Yeah, no, it was a well-done trailer. I mean, the editing is great. I'm sure there's CGI, of course.
Oh, tons of CGI, yeah.
Yeah, tons of CGI. But also, they have to have made those dolls to really be dolls for some of the scenes, too. You know, like when he's holding the doll. I mean, I'm sure they're real dolls in a lot of the scenes, and they look just like the characters in the movie.
Oh, that must be fun.
Yeah. Really quick, getting back to Foxcatcher, I didn't know. I mean, maybe because I'm not into Greco-Roman wrestling or something, but but Steve Carell, I mean, with the huge nose,
right,
and everything, and the way he kind of carries himself in that. Well, I didn't see the movie, but I did watch the trailer to it, and very awesome role that he played. It shows he's more than just like a goof office manager.
Yeah, no, I think Steve Carell has done a great service to his career, you know, more than just Foxcatcher. I think he's had a number of roles recently where he's chosen the role to stretch himself, you know, as an actor.
Right.
And just to show range, which is important, you know, when you're trying to just keep working in the industry.
I think good actors do have to take roles that they don't typically play to stretch their, what would you call it, their acting prowess?
Yeah, their capabilities, yeah.
Their capabilities and everything, yeah. So as long as they can keep growing, it's like anybody in a career. If you want to survive in the career, you have to keep learning and keep adapting and adjusting and growing in your career. Otherwise, you know, you're dead.
So true.
Or you're not doing it anymore and you're going to do something else. So, yeah.
Dead in the water.
Right. Final comment I have is that it's, even though there's dolls and it's kind of a doll story talking about this guy's rehab, it's mm-hmm. definitely not one for the kids, I don't think. It looks like it's going to be just a little bit too violent.
Too violent. I think there's adult themes with the love interest in multiple women in his life, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I agree with you. I think Marwen, I don't know what the what power the name holds. But just in a name of itself, if it has no actual meaning, I think it is kind of a mistake. It's very forgettable. It's hard to say, and it's hard to place. It's not an easy touch point for the movie going audience. Like I was enthralled with this movie, and then I couldn't find it off the title. I had to, you know, Steve Carell, Robert Zemeckis. Yeah, those are the things that I had to look for to find it. So I think Welcome to Marwen is a bit of a miss on naming as far as from a marketing angle. Of course, there's more to art than marketing. But
so my prediction of your 3-word review.
Oh, cool.
Is Steve's Doll Love.
See, I love how these are predictions of my 3-word reviews, but they're really just, they're your 3-word reviews.
Yeah, but I can't sell it that way because it's Ted's 3-word review.
Okay. All right. Well, as I has said before, like Robert, to me, this is a Robert Zemeckis vehicle. So my 3-word review for this is Zemeckis's Project Phoenix, because I'm really hopeful this is going to be a great success for him and a great back into the success of filmmaking from Castaway and...
Yeah, his rebirth.
Right. From the ashes of Mars Needs Moms.
All right, cool. So Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah.
So I just learned about this today when I was like putting things together, doing some research and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know it was on Crackle or anything. I mean, I thought this was something new to Netflix. Well, yeah, it is new to Netflix, but I mean like a Netflix original that was never done anywhere else.
So I think this is perfect, right? So this is the perfect segue into what I was saying, why I picked this for this week.
Okay.
It is a marketing achievement to basically frame this up. You know, Crackle had, I think, a couple of seasons of this show on. You know, he had great guests. He would do this thing where he'd take his guests to a coffee shop, usually have some coffee with them. And then he has one of his many cars dropped off to the coffee shop or he picks them up and takes them to the coffee shop in these awesome classic cars that he owns. You know, him and Jay Leno have dueling car collections from their own personal financial success.
Right.
But he does this thing on Crackle. You know, I think Crackle's owned by Sony. I could be wrong. It's owned by somebody, and it's, you know, it's out there. It's a free service. It's not, it doesn't have it doesn't cast as big of a net, but it's like, it's a big draw for Crackle. As Crackle, I think, got bought and got shuffled around, this kind of got lost in the shuffle. And I thought, oh, that's kind of a shame because it's such a good idea, good concept. And then it ended up here on Netflix. Now, Netflix, I don't know whether they bought the rights to the old seasons or whatever, but they kept the title, so that's cool. And then as far as what season is this, we don't, you know, in the Netflix world, you don't care what season this is, right? You just want to know that it's new, right?
Yeah, you just want to see who he's interviewing and you want to listen to that person.
Right, but this trailer, it's called Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, new 2018. So you know that like in this time and space, no matter when I see it, it says new 2018. So if we see this 2 years from now and we pull this video up and we see it, it's a new 2018, so we'll know that it's old. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
And it doesn't say any, it doesn't have any reference to where it is in the lineup of the years, because there is no chronology to follow as far as where Jerry Seinfeld is in his life, you know? And Freshly Brewed is just like another take on just a nice little pun to wrap up the title of what it is on Netflix. So the new entrance to like to this title, like you just think it's something new on Netflix and you don't care that it's happened on Crackle, because now you're going to go to Netflix and you're going to look and see what they have for Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, and you're going to find the comedians that you're a fan of or all of Jerry's stuff, and you'll just dive into whatever you want to watch. And I just think that's amazing that they, that he, you know, he sold this initially on a streaming service. It was a big success for this little streaming company. And now he's taken that idea, sold it for, I'm sure, tons more money to Netflix as a concept. And he still has his, you know, his cachet of friends. And he just runs through his cachet of friends that are comedians. And he talks to them for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever it is. And he even says it in the trailer, like, and, you know, most things are a set time limit, but we just talk and we just edit it together. So it's, it can be whatever it is, you know? So I think it's built for streaming. You know, Jerry, as a king of linear television, I said that I told my friends back when he did Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee for Crackle that he had found a great space and that he could probably help this whole company establish themselves. But as they, you know, get lost in the shuffle, he knows enough to pivot and go over to Netflix and to, you know, cash in on a good thing. So Seinfeld continues to be a, you know, a self-marketing kind of genius, able to push himself into all the spaces as they develop. So it's really an amazing triumph.
Yeah, and I think having, when they talk about 2018 and maybe next year 2019, et cetera, that's probably a good thing to do instead of saying seasons, but having years, because if their topics are timely to what's going on now politically or whatever they might be, then you want to know, you want to have that reference so you can look back at it and go, oh, now I get the joke because that was like 5 years ago.
Right, right.
You know, like if you watch it in 5 years from now, let's say. And I also like the idea that each episode is like less than 20 minutes.
Right. It's kind of a great selling point.
You know, I'll watch it for that fact alone. Because like Clarissa and I have been trying to watch the final episode of The Walking Dead, right?
Uh-huh.
That, you know, that's, it's like an hour 38 or something, or an hour 48, or I don't remember. I think it's an hour 38. I mean, it was time for that, you know? We're trying to figure out, by the time we get the boys to bed and we do all the things we got to do and stuff, man, it's bedtime. And then on the weekends, we're doing things, we're going places. Like, it's so hard to sit down for 2 hours anymore, it seems. I mean, I don't know. Average person watches 5 hours of TV a day. Maybe it's not that hard, but...
Oh, who is that? I can't do that.
Oh, man, there's more to life. But yeah, 20 minutes or like 17 minutes, whatever they are. Boom. It's like, you know, just pop one on while you're eating breakfast or something. I mean, it's, you know, and just have a chuckle for the day and head out.
Oh, it's amazing. And he has Brian Regan on this season. So I'm completely sold on Brian Regan and Jerry Seinfeld talking for 20 minutes. I'm going to want more.
Yeah. So, but yeah, other than that, I don't really have much else other than to predict your 3-word review.
Okay.
Jerry's TED Talk.
Oh, that's better than mine. Let's use that one.
You know, they're all less than 20 minutes. Like, you know, it's like TED Talks. You got to be done in 20 minutes.
Jerry's TED Talk. I like it.
Yeah.
Is TED Talk one word?
That's a good question.
No, TED Talks are 2 words, I think. Okay.
Well, and TED's really not even a word. It's an acronym. So yeah, it would be 2 words.
Yes. That is not my 3-word review. But my 3-word review is just like so much less creative than that. My 3-word review is still hung up on the whole idea of the fact that they didn't say season X. So I call it, my 3-word review for this is love the positioning.
Love the positioning. So what's the positioning? You mean like the marketing side of it, you mean?
The marketing side of it. Yeah. I think, you know, I was actually, this was reinforced late this week when we were in a meeting and somebody was talking about a promo that was coming out, and And part of our planning team was like, one of the VPs of planning was like, I don't think we need to say season two. We could just say they're new episodes and they're coming and that's fine. You know, it doesn't matter what number season this is. And I was like, oh, see, that's exactly what I was saying about comedians and cars getting coffee. You tell people it's new, you put it out into the world, and then they can catch on to it and then go from there.
Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely going to pick up a episode here and there.
Yeah.
And maybe I'll start off with like the people that I want to see, like, you know, somebody that catches my interest. And if it is as funny as it, I think it's going to be, just in a, just two people having conversation over coffee and driving around. But yeah, maybe then just watch the others. I mean, the investment, it's a low investment of time.
You know what I would, the thing I would think would make it more exciting for you?
What's that?
Comedians on bikes getting coffee.
Yeah, all you hear those wind noise.
I don't know. Jerry has a lot of convertibles.
Well, true. Yeah, I guess it depends on, you know, get all laved up and I guess just go out there. All right, Creed 2.
All right, before we do Creed, you want to take a little break?
Yeah, how about we do that? I might need a break.
Cool.
Coming up on Trailer Junkies Podcast.
It's like a spoiler in a poster. It's like, you know that he wins if he's draped in the American flag and the, you know, his trainers are holding him up smiling, you know?
If you enjoy our trailer reviews, even if you hate them, let us know. We love feedback. We're on Twitter at @TJunkiesPodcast and Instagram at @TrailerJunkiesPodcast. You can also comment on the episodes at trailerjunkiespodcast.com. Our email is info@trailerjunkiespodcast.com. And you could also leave us a review in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Now let's get back to it. All right, we're back with Creed 2.
Creed 2. I'm interested in this. I really wanted to see Creed 1, but sadly I did not. I was told by all my friends to definitely see that movie. So I apologize for not seeing it.
Yeah, I didn't see it either.
But I did see Black Panther, and Black Panther was awesome.
My initial thought with Creed 2 is I don't like the music.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's looping the same thing over and over. And after a while, I'm like, all right, already, let's get some, well, I want something different here, you know? Like, I got it. He's got royalty in his blood, you know? And then the other side of it, too, I think it's just your typical Rocky kind of a story.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is typical Rocky story in that, you know, it's like once Rocky, or in this case, Michael B. Jordan, once they kind of gain some notoriety in the boxing world, they become a little lackadaisical. And then it takes, like, getting beat hard so they can reinvent themselves. And then to get back on top, and I don't know, it's kind of the same story rehashed as of how they do it. And then they show the training. It's always like the one thing about these Rocky movies is, well, okay, Creed, I guess, as well. But, you know, the Rocky style.
No, this is a Rocky. Creed is a Rocky reboot.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's not the gender bender. It's the race bender. You know, it's taking Apollo Creed and just making him that much, you know, he's putting him front and center and allowing Rocky to switch into that role. You know, he's still Rocky Balboa.
But the other thing too, it's like it's as if boxing principles in training don't win boxing fights, right? Mm-hmm. So the only way you're going to win fights is when you do this unconventional training. So like they show him, you know, shadow boxing underwater.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like in Rocky, what was it? Rocky 3, I guess, when he fought Ivan Drago, you know, Dolph Lundgren, who's Swedish, by the way. He goes to Russia and then he's chopping wood, you know, and here's Dolph Lundgren doing like, you know, machine training, you know, like he's this like robotic kind of a, you know, kind of what the stereotype of Russians, right? They're all methodical and they're machines and they don't have any emotion. You know, it goes back to what we were talking about, like, what was it, Red Sparrow a long time ago, you know? Like, they're all these, like, robotic, people who have no emotion, no feelings.
Yeah.
They're just, they're it's all trained out of them, right? They're not human, which I doubt that. But then it's like, you know, it's the movie's tied to both Rocky III and Rocky IV.
Yeah, Rocky IV was the one that you're talking about, the Ivan Drago one.
Oh, Rocky III was with
Mr. T.
Mr. T, that's right. Oh, man, I had it backward.
No, I don't hate Balboa, but I pity the fool.
And then what did Dolph Lundgren say? Oh, yeah.
I must break you.
But, okay, so yeah, Rocky IV, you're right about that. So it ties into Rocky IV because he kills Apollo. And then Rocky has to come back and avenge Apollo. And then he humiliates Drago in the ring in Russia. So now Apollo's son is avenging his dad.
Again.
Again. Right. He's avenging his dad by fighting Drago. And Drago's son is like avenging his father for being humiliated by Rocky, you know? So it's more about Rocky IV than it is like the first Creed, even though I didn't see the first Creed, but I guess that's where he calls him out to go fight, like, you know, like a public calling out. So now he can't turn him down. Right. Cause it was probably like broadcasted on YouTube or something.
No turning back then.
Yeah, because that's how it is with Twitter these days, because everybody's freaking out on Twitter. But no, overall, it looks kind of cool, but I mean, it's just another Rocky story. You know, I think it's going to play out kind of the same way. Like, he loses, he gets his ass kicked, he comes back, he boxes, his unconventional training, he comes back, he wins the fight. You know, I mean, story told.
Yeah. And I think, to me, like, because Rocky IV, I think Rocky IV was the time that I got into Rocky movies. So I love that movie. Not until recently was it pointed out to me that, have you seen the poster for it? It's, you know, Rocky all beat up and he's draped in the American flag.
Right.
And he's like being held up and stuff. And people are telling me, like, you know, that gives away the whole movie. It's like a spoiler in a poster. It's like, you know that he wins if he's draped in the American flag and the, you know, his trainers are holding him up smiling, you know?
Yeah, and it was just, you know, one of those typical Cold War movies where, yeah. You know, I mean, like, the underdog America, like we've ever been the underdog in this whole thing, but like the underdog America, you know, like we come back and we scratch our and claw our way to victory. But yeah, no, it, you know, it's a typical, like I said, Rocky movie, you know, it is what it is.
But the thing that makes this interesting to me is that there's so much going for this movie and so much that it feels like the weight is put on the shoulders of this movie, you know?
Yeah.
If you look at the poster for this, which I love the poster for this, I put this on my phone for this week, like I used to way, way back when we started doing this. Just, it has that big Roman numeral 2, you know, that just dwarfs Michael B. Jordan in the foreground.
Right.
And it's all black and white, and you can see Creed on his waistband, but that's the only mention of Creed. It's really about 2. And to me, this is like, I'm actually writing an article now that I don't know if I'll ever be able to finish, but I started writing this article about a month ago, and it's about the idea of franchise fatigue. And as we walk into a space where the less than stellar performance of movies like Solo has brought that whole franchise to a halt of doing extraneous sequels. So rather than doing more sequels, they're going to stick more of the Star Wars story sequels. They're going to stick to the main thread, the main through line of the main movies. And I just thought that was such a disservice because I'm a huge fan of both Solo and Rogue One. So I started writing this article about what are people looking for in these franchises. And this is like, you could take Marvel on one end, where Marvel needs all of this mass of storytelling to build up into the space of Infinity War. And Infinity War was a huge success, but maybe that Infinity War is a very specialized execution that can't be replicated. You know, you can't just say, oh, now we own the Star Wars universe and we'll just do that too. We'll build up all the characters around the outside and then bring them together and then do massive meetup movies to, you know, as tent poles within the franchise. So you have on one end, you have the Marvel movies that actually do execute that in a very structured, specific way. And then you have this very linear story where it's like you said, Rocky Balboa, there's a fight, they train for the fight, there's some conflict about training for the fight, and then they have the fight that the whole movie's built around.
You right.
know, this has one thing that it can hang its hat on, and it's that. It's the only thing that it's gonna live and die on the success of Creed versus Drago. You know, it's Drago's son, you know, as he dons the jacket and it says Drago across the back. I mean, to me, that was chilling because I love Rocky IV, you know, and I'm a big Michael B. Jordan fan. So it was great to see that. And it just put so much pressure on this. And then, like you said, as you do some investigation, you do some research for it, I was just hoping Ryan Coogler could do it. And to see that Ryan Coogler is not even directing this now, I don't know Stephen Caple's work, Stephen Caple Jr., the director of this, his work, his other stuff, you know, the trailers that I saw for his other movies look good, super gritty, which I think is what the franchise might need, you know, to continue. But it's just amazing that this story can be told again to a new audience, a new generation, and maybe it has a new way of resonating with them. And maybe the fan structure around the Rocky movies isn't as, you know, built as so, I don't know what's the word, like calcified, that they give a little more freedom to play with the characters and to go in and out. And, you know, you have Rocky there, but Rocky's an old man.
Right.
So it's not like doing an origin story of Rocky, because that's the original Rocky. But I think there's something about fanboys and the ideas that fanboys put into what they think things should be. And then when movies are fully executed through the system of filmmaking, it's never going to satisfy everyone.
Yeah, and I think, like you said, with Star Wars and Rogue One and Solo and all the different Rocky and Rocky reboots and everything, I mean, there's a recipe that they have that they don't want to spoil by being too risky, because if you start mixing things up, you're going to lose the hardcore fans. If you start going down new ways and everything, you might capture new people, but you're probably going to capture those people anyway. And if you don't, they're probably not the people who are likely to go watch something like a Creed or Creed 2. Also, getting to the Roman numeral 2,
yeah,
I also kind of saw that as like Roman columns.
Yeah.
You know, so like he's standing there in the
like Samson.
Exactly. Yeah. Like he's standing there, like, you know, and he's the guy who's gonna like break down the what do you call it, cathedral or whatever it is, you know. But yeah, and then Tessa Thompson in this has hearing aids. Remind me why that is. Is that because previous movie, or is that because of, I mean, it's got to be something in the previous movie has her as a deaf person.
I don't know.
Yeah, because I see her with hearing aids and I'm like, is she deaf? And if she is, why are they not those little hidden ones that, you know?
Because those little hidden ones are expensive.
Yeah, but not too expensive for CTU when Jack Bauer would put him in his ears and he could talk to people. Yeah.
Those hearing aids, are they like piercings or something?
No, they look like they're hearing aids. Because if you look at the scene in the trailer where she's like, they're in the bed when he's recovering from getting pummeled or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's his wife, I guess, right?
Right.
Yeah. Because then all of a sudden he has a baby in this movie. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe she's deaf from a previous movie because we both didn't watch it. And now somebody's screaming at their at their iPhone saying like, come on. You know? Oh, well, we'll have to watch and find out.
There
go
you
see go. Creed before you go see Creed 2.
Always a good plan.
Yeah, definitely. All right. So any last thoughts? I think I said what I needed to say, you know, that discipline wins boxing, not unconventional training wins boxing. Right? Get in the gym, do your training, hit the speed bag, the heavy bag, lift weights, run, skip rope, whatever you got to do. But you definitely want to get your discipline in your boxing training down. Get out there in the gym 5 a.m., healthy diet, you know. And I got to say, though, Michael B. Jordan is yoked in this movie. He's looking good. Anyway, that's all I got to say. How about you?
That's it. Do you have a guess for my three review for this one?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Michael B. Boxing.
See, 2 out of 3, I like your 3 reviews better than mine.
So wait, you like that or don't like it?
I like that.
Oh, okay, okay.
So I like that better than mine.
Oh, so what you didn't like was the Morrow, whatever it's called.
Yeah, I think you did. You did, what was that one?
I don't remember. I'm a one-hit wonder.
Mine for this one is...
it was Corral... Steve's Doll Love, wasn't it?
Steve's Doll Love, yes. Yeah. But see, that has a tongue-in-cheek in it as well.
Of course.
So mine for this one is Match the Hype, ?
Like, Match the Hype?
Yeah. So hype, I just think, you know, it is like we were saying, it's a tough sell. Can it live up to what has come before it? Can it build on the story that's so singular in focus, you know, as it comes across? So I'm just, I'm hopeful for this one, but I'm also tenuous about, you know, keeping this story going.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see. And then it'll be like grandson of Rocky and then Creed's great grandson, and it'll just keep going forever, you know, and we'll see.
An old Michael B. Jordan training. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. You know, and that's how it goes. So, but real quick though, so you never saw the first Rocky?
No, I saw the first Rocky. I never saw the first Creed.
Yeah, but you said, oh, the first time you saw a Rocky movie was Rocky IV.
I got into the Rocky movies at Rocky IV.
At Rocky IV.
Then I went back and I saw the others. But I, you know, as a place in time, as, you know, as a child of that time, I still like Rocky IV better than the other Rocky. Well, Rocky III is really, I think I like Rocky III second best, and then the original Rocky, then Rocky II. So it's like, for me, it's 4-3-1-2.
And it's incredible, the story of how the original Rocky came to be.
Oh, yeah.
The way he wrote it, and, you know, kind of it was self-funded or whatever, and kind of goes down the whole path of getting this thing into the theaters and stuff, and then wins an Academy Award.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's incredible that, you know.
I mean, the movie itself is an underdog story.
Oh, no, it's great, yeah.
The making of the movie is an underdog story.
Right. Yeah, I know what you meant. Yeah. No, it's totally, it's incredible, so. And hey, we have our screaming pterodactyl in the background there.
That's awesome.
All right, man. And then we'll catch you next week.
All right, talk to you later.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the holy trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rogelio for the music. Hi, Timmy.
Hi, Ted.
What have you done this weekend? Are you having fun this weekend?
Yeah.
What'd you do? You go bike riding?
Yeah.
Where'd you go?
We went around the block a few times.
Uh-huh.
And then we stopped.
Are you talking about going to the village market?
Yeah, village market.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, what were you on?
Bike. Yeah. Of course, Mikey's always in the front of me, and I'm always in the back.
That's because you're bigger.
Yeah.
The bigger brother gets in the back to make sure everything's safe.
No, we always take turns in the back, but Mikey does not let me anymore.
Do you know what you're doing tonight? You doing anything fun tonight?
Not really.
No?
Okay, kid, are you good?
Yeah.
Okay, there.
Bye, Ted.
Bye.
He waited patiently for the whole time
he
just
did.
To do that. Yeah, he was sitting there.
That's
like,
awesome.
Yeah, so. Okay, oh, wait, we got another one who has a turn.
There you go.
Hang on, come here and put these on.
Hi.
Hi, Mikey.
Hi.
Tell them what you're eating.
Banana.
You're eating a frozen banana?
Frozen banana, huh? You're going to turn into a frozen banana.
Oh, my goodness. How many frozen bananas have you had today? You had 5 frozen bananas today? Oh.
He'll eat like 2-3 in a row sometimes. I don't know how he's not all bound up inside with constipation. Okay, kiddo. All right, go say goodbye.
Bye, Mikey.
Bye.
All right, Ted.
All right, cool.